This segment of the show is brought to you by ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Let's get right to it.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, I think it's important to start today off with what your rights are in Arizona when it comes to masks. I thought we were done with this. I thought we wouldn't have to do this again. So I apologize for the repetitive nature of bringing back this topic. But right now you've got the lunatics running the insane asylum, and they're pushing for these masks. You see it building up. Look, just a couple weeks ago, I was telling you about certain hospitals around the country that are now requiring patients and workers and guests, you know, coming on in to see people who are ill, who are unfortunate enough to have to be in these hospitals in the first place, and requiring the masks. And now you see Jill Biden, she gets COVID, right? So, of course, they're going to be on high alert, ultra-sensitive mode going forward. They claim COVID is spiking around the country. I don't know. I know some people that have gotten it, but they're just going about their normal lives. This is just a normal part of our life now every year. But the mask mandate push and the push for more and more places to mask up is ticking up. So I want to make sure you know your rights here in Arizona, because you do have some laws that were passed here in Arizona that protect you from the government or these lunatics, these so-called health experts, these control freak politicians and bureaucrats from imposing a mask mandate on you. And I'll get to that here in just a second. But, you know, now you got Biden going around with a mask. Sometimes Biden was at a Medal of Honor ceremony, and, you know, Jill Biden just tested positive for COVID. Biden is testing negative, supposedly. And here's Biden pinning this medal on this Medal of Honor recipient, and he takes the mask off. He's inches away from him, pinning it on him, and then he never puts it back on. Now, I don't really care. I think it's stupid. I don't think it's doing anything at all, but if your policy is going to be, or if your push and your belief is going to be that these masks are so great, you don't take it off, unless you're eating ice cream or something, or driving around in your Corvette. Now you've also got schools masking up. There's a school in Montgomery County, Maryland, and others are hinting at this, some large school districts in the country. This is from WTOP News. That's a news station or whatever in that area. They're being told that they must wear masks for the next 10 days after three or more people tested positive for COVID-19. What does that even mean, three or more? Was it three? Was it four? Was it five? Where do they come up with this stuff, this gobbledygook language that they put out there? So they sent a letter home to parents yesterday. This is the Rosemary Hills Elementary School, and the principals, Rebecca Irwin Kennedy, according to this article, wrote that the KN95 masks would be distributed, and students and staff in quote-unquote identified classes or activities will be required to mask up while in school for the next 10 days, except when eating or drinking. Well, isn't that special? So we're back to that insanity again. You got to pull down your mask to take a drink. You got to put your mask back up. Pull down your mask, take a bite, put it back. These people are monumentally stupid. Look, if I was in any of these schools that have people like this, you have to question their intelligence. These are the people that are teaching your kids, and they're still this monumentally stupid on the subject of COVID and masks after all these years. And the letter goes on to state that after the 10-day period, masks will become optional again. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. So I want you to know your rights here in Arizona. So back in 2022, the Arizona legislature passed House Bill 2616. Is actually spearheaded by Representative Joseph Chaplick, and I got a clip of him coming up here in just a second from an interview that he did with me earlier this year. He was the person that spearheaded this bill, which is what we called the Mask Freedom Bill. And he actually got it passed the year before in 2021 during the height of the COVID insanity. But because the way it was passed, it was thrown into the budget. And later, the schools went, they didn't want this. They wanted to have the power to have mask mandates and all this. They went to court over this issue. And the courts ruled that the legislature put it into law in the wrong way. So a whole year goes by before they reimpose this mask freedom law. They bring it back to the legislature, pass it as a standalone bill, and it passes. And it gets signed by Governor Ducey. It becomes law. So here's what it says. It's really simple. Mask and face coverings. It's Article 2, and I'll put a link in the podcast. Article 2 of, and let's make sure we get the House bill correct. Remember this bill, if anybody tries to impose a mask mandate on you or insinuate or demand that you wear a mask in any public school, any charter school, any government agency that's a subdivision of the state of Arizona, just say, hey, I have HB 2616 on my side. Go look that up. And I'll put a link, like I said, in the podcast for you. Mask and face covering mandates, minor's consent of parent or guardian. Here's what it says. Notwithstanding any other law, this state, any political subdivision of this state, any other governmental entity, any school district or any charter school, so school district or charter school, may not require that a mask or face covering be worn by a person under 18 years of age without the express consent of a person's parent or guardian. It goes on to discuss businesses. So private businesses, mask and face covering mandates, minors, consent of parent or guardian. Notwithstanding any other law, a business in this state is not required to enforce on its patrons a mask or face covering mandate that is established by this state, a city, town, or county, or any other jurisdiction of this state, may not require a mask or face covering to be worn by a person under 18 years of age without the express consent of the person's parent or guardian. So if you are a business owner out there, the state or your city council or your county board, your town council cannot say, hey, business, remember when they did this stuff? It was so ridiculous. They cannot say, hey, business, you're required to have have your patrons and your workers and yourself. You have to wear a mask. Cannot do it. Now, private business, to my knowledge, they can impose a mask mandate. Now, it gets squirrely if you're under 18 years of age, if they can require the guests to actually use these things. But they cannot force, the government cannot force an Arizona business to do a mask mandate. And reading that a little bit more, in your schools, your government agencies, your towns, again, your counties, the state, any subdivision of Arizona that includes charter schools may not require that a mask or face covering be worn by a person under 18 years of age. So I want you to be armed with that. I want you to understand your rights here in Arizona, because I think this is going to tick up. And the lunatics that think that masks do anything, they're back and they're trying to claw their way back to their former level of absolute insanity. All right. I did have Representative Joseph Chaplick on earlier this year to talk about this. Now, this was in the context of new studies that had come out showing that the masks were pretty worthless. A bunch of studies have now come out since then. I also have a study questioning the materials in these N95 masks and long-term exposure that I'll get to here in just a second. But here's me and Joseph Chaplick talking about how ridiculous these masks are. And also that we didn't think that this stuff was going to come back, that the American public, you know, probably doesn't have an appetite for this anymore. I think that a majority of people know now, and I think we won't see that again because of all the blowback. Am I being overly optimistic?
Well, one thing is, keep in mind, the bill that said if you own a business, you don't have to enforce a mandate. That's key, because that's still the law now. So okay, even if they try, a city like yours puts a mandate out that you have to wear a mask, businesses don't have to comply. That's the first one. The second one is public schools aren't going to demand masks again, because the parents make that decision if they want their child to express consent, if they want their child wearing a mask in school. So I think we're done with the mask.
Yeah.
Not to mention, Jeff, I think, you know, we learn a lot of lessons quickly as Americans, and we're not going to fall for this one again when they start telling us everyone needs to put a mask on. And I'm surprised that these doctor offices or hospitals are still demanding masks. That is something that needs to change. And hopefully these reports you're seeing, hopefully start convincing those folks to change their policy.
Okay, and that's Representative Joseph Chaplick. That was February of this year, so early in the year. And we thought this was all far behind us. I guess we were wrong. I don't know of any places like hospitals or doctor's offices that are asking people to wear masks as of yet in Arizona. I think it'll probably be coming, though. But my main concern, though, is with your kids and the schools and any government agency that comes out in Arizona says you have to wear a mask, just remember you don't. And I don't think the Biden administration will be able to impose that. I think there's been Supreme Court cases on business and stuff. What they could impose is a TSA mask mandate once again. Keep in mind here in Arizona, we may have laws in place that disallow the mandating of mask wearing, but if the feds want to impose a mask mandate on federal property, so you go to a national park or something, you go into a federal office, federal court, the TSA, you know, the trains, planes, things like that, public transportation, they could require, including like the city buses, because there's all kinds of strings attached when you take this Fed money. They regulate all that. So if Biden decides to do a mask mandate, there will be a lot of places in Arizona that are federally controlled. And you know how much of our state is federally controlled. Unfortunately, we're actually a really small state when you account for the lack of private property we have here in the state. But anyway, the feds could impose this. There's been lots of rumors going about that the TSA is going to impose a mask mandate coming up here later this month. I haven't been able to verify any of that. This has just been people saying they're talking to TSA folks. TSA saying we don't have anything. We're watching the data, et cetera, et cetera. But they've done it before, so why would we think they won't do it again? And I'll be disappointed because I've got some air travel planned, a couple different trips planned in early into middle of 2024 that we already have tickets for. I'm going to handle that. So be aware of what it is, what the laws are here in Arizona, and just remember this HB 2616, especially when it comes to your kids. One more thing. I found this article from, this was actually another article from the Daily Mail. Mask study published by NIH suggests N95 COVID masks may expose wearers to dangerous levels of toxic compounds linked to seizures and cancers. This was put out on August 27th of this year. It's regarding a study that was published in April that found disposable masks can have toxic chemicals. Experts said this could make newly instated mask mandates ineffective. They're talking about the surgical N95 masks and, you know, that have been held up as a gold standard when it comes to protecting against COVID, which it hasn't. They did a study, and it was quietly reshared, according to this article, by the National Institute of Health, the NIH, in spring. It suggests the tight-fitting mask may expose users to dangerous levels of toxic chemicals. And I could assume that if you're wearing this for years on end and you're out there all the time breathing these materials, yeah, there's got to be something there. Now, researchers from Jeonbuk National University in South Korea, that's where they got this study from, that was shared by NIH, looked at two types of disposable medical grade masks, as well as several reusable cotton masks. Study found that the chemicals released by these masks had 8 times the recommended safety limits of toxic volatile organic compounds, TVOCs. Inhaling TVOCs has been linked to health issues like headaches and nausea, while prolonged and repeated use has been linked to organ damage and even cancer. That sounds good. Mask on up. You go for it. I'll follow Biden's lead, which is he takes his mask off and he's not doing it either. I ain't doing that again, and I don't think most of you are as well. But I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get your comments in. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And remember, House Bill 2616 in Arizona. All right. How about some masks for your windows? No, seriously. I mean, the best way to, you know, you got all these rabid environmentalists out there that say the end of the world is coming because of man-caused climate change. Okay, let's save some energy then. Tell them, hey, I'm doing something for the environment. I'm getting all new blinds, shutters, and shades for my home, and I'm going to the Blind Brothers. That's what me and Angela did here earlier this year. We got all new blinds for our house, and the Blind Brothers did an excellent job. Great price, great selection. We went through all the options. We chose all new blinds. Then we had them come in and take out all the old blinds, and they did the installation. I highly recommend you use the Blind Brothers for your installation. And if you mention a Jeff Horvitz show, when you call the Blind Brothers, you're going to get up to half off installation on your new blind shutters or shades. Do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. That's the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. right, I'm looking at the national debt spiking up. I'm on usdebtclock.org. Go to if you're really if you like slot machines and you like all the shining lights and all that and the you know, the flashing things and things scrolling around. You just go stare at that for a while. You may go insane. But usdebtclock.org, national debt will soon click over to $33 trillion. It's at 32 as of this second. It's going so fast, I can't even tell you where it's at this second. $32,905,000,000,000 and change. But it's going to flip over to $33 trillion here real soon. You know, look, I've been doing this show for 7 years, and I've been warning about this for even long before I started this show. I've been like, hey, we've got a huge problem, and we're putting this on our kids, our grandkids, future generations. What are they going to think of us? What are they going to think of the people that said, hey, I'm more important than you? I mean, that's what we're saying with all this debt. So here's some of the numbers, because I got a report that's come out from the, what do these guys call themselves? The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. that's like a unicorn fantasy at this point. Debt per citizen, $98,000. Debt per taxpayer, $254,000. U.S. federal spending. This is official. This is the number right now. Nearly $6.4 trillion, and we are rapidly approaching a budget deficit. This is a budget deficit. Is the difference between the money that's taken in. This is simple economics here, simple accounting. So the money you take in, so that's taxes and some other revenue, but generally taxes. The difference between what they're taking in and what they're spending is closing in this year on $2 trillion. $2 trillion. I think it's actually over that, but the official numbers haven't been released at this point. Federal spending is actually looking like it's more like $6.5 trillion. We may get to $7 trillion this year. I want you to keep in mind that back before the COVID hysterics, and hopefully we're not entering COVID hysterics number two here, back before all that hit, before we did the $9 or $10 trillion that we know of, I think it was far more than that. The federal budget was just over $4.3 trillion. Now we're gonna be at $7 trillion here real soon. So here's the article from, this is all over the place, but I'm reading on Yahoo. Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, an organization that pushes for lowering the deficit, is projecting the federal deficit will double. This year to about $2 trillion for the fiscal year that ends September 30th. Mark Goldwyn, senior policy director at the organization, told The Hill that high interest rates, lower tax revenues, and high inflation resulting in higher Social Security and Medicare costs have all contributed to the rising deficit. Goes on to say a big part of the story is just that there was sort of a one-time huge revenue surge in 2022. That's gone, Goldwyn said. But the other stories are that we have structural deficits really rising in 2023, and there's a lot of that is because of the interest costs. As you know, interest rates have gone up in the past year more than they've gone up in history. They keep raising the interest rates, so people are paying a lot more. You're paying a lot more. So if you have credit card debt, if you have any kind of revolving debt, all of that debt, you're going out to buy a car, you're going out to buy a house, all of that debt has gone up, or the cost of that debt, interest payments, I should say, has gone up dramatically for you, dramatically. Plus inflation on everything, and you get inflation because they printed $9 or $10 trillion and they pushed it into the economy. They told people to stay home. We had lower productivity, so we had less goods and services out there. We had more money chasing less goods and services. People at home watching Netflix, ordering things from Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this was a no-brainer that this all happened. And the people in there, they knew that this was going to happen. So here we are. We've got this super high interest rates. So now what you're seeing is the deficit's going to grow and grow and grow, because most of the things that the federal government, most of the things that Congress does, I would say two-thirds of the budget, if not more, is on autopilot. They can't change it. It would require a two-thirds majority to change the funding levels of things like Social Security, Medicare, those transfer payments they're baked into the cake, shall we say. So they can't change it. They can't change it, and they're not going to, because they don't have the power to, and they don't have the political will to. So then you add on top of that the interest payments. So as I said, back to usdebtclock.org, we're approaching $33 trillion in national debt. So as these treasury bills come due, and I said that I've told you this many times, the interest payments are much higher. It becomes a much bigger part of the national debt pie, I guess, the national payment pie, and it's costing more and more. We're in this debt spiral now that I don't see any way out of. I don't see any way out of this at this point because there's no political will to, you know, raise taxes, of course. There's no political will to cut anything. I'm watching the numbers tick up as we speak. The spending is going up and up. And here's what I fear. If things get worse economically, you know, Bidenomics, things are so great. If things get worse, when they get worse, I should say, the government's going to go out there and start handing out money again and cause massive inflation and cause this debt to spiral even more. So I think that's what's coming. And hey, it's good that there's this organization out there noting this, but I don't think the average American, you know, gives a damn about it at this point. Until it becomes a big problem. I care, you care, but that number is astounding. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get your comments in right now. Olivia will be buying a little bit, by the way. Speaking of interest rates, timely here, you need to refinance your home, you need to move, and you need to buy a new home. I don't want you to not buy a home if you're planning on staying in a place for a while and putting down roots. You know, I don't want you to not have, get into a home because interest rates are high. You can always refinance later, hopefully when interest rates go down. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the market's going to do at all. But I know that home ownership's been a blessing for my family. Look, call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. If you need financing, she can help you out. Nova Home Loans is the largest privately owned mortgage lender in the state of Arizona. They make local decisions like a bank, but because they're also a broker, Kim Dawson has access to all the best programs. And by the way, get your offer kind of to the front of the line by getting a pre-approval letter from Kim Dawson. Sometimes it's like having cash in hand. It's really important. Sellers really want to see that. Call Kim Dawson right now at Nova Home Loans at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458, or go to NovaHomeLoans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. All right, and I'd also like to thank another great sponsor here, and that's my good friends at Desert Gold Exchange. With the insanity that I just mentioned, all the government spending, the $2 trillion budget deficit that we are soon going to see, isn't it time to look into and at least educate yourself on gold and silver? Now, I've bought physical gold and silver from Justin and his family-run company at Desert Gold Exchange for years. Based in Arizona, they deal exclusively in physical gold and silver, not some piece of paper that the federal government can dilute by printing a bunch more money. It's a family-owned company. Give Desert Gold Exchange a call right now at 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. More to come. Hang tight. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show. This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Comments, I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And coming up in hour two of the show, actually bringing Olivia. She's working on comments right now, so you still got time to get those in, and we'll try to read them. We try to do our best all the time with those. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I was just talking about the COVID hysterics that are reappearing in this country. And one place that you guys had, it was very strange back in, I think it was 2021 or so, right when COVID was kind of hitting. And that was the mayor of Cottonwood, Mayor Tim Malinsky. They had like this meeting and the council said, we don't want to do a mask mandate or anything like that. And then the mayor said, well, I didn't expect that to happen. This was Mayor Linsky, and he's still in office right now. And then he's like, okay, I'm just going to do an executive order, whatever they call it, waving the magic wand of government and saying, I'm going to do it anyway. And he disregarded the council. He's still in there. It's just shocking. But I do have Councilwoman Lisa DuVernay with us from Cottonwood. Councilwoman, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you?
Good. I'm concerned when I see the COVID hysterics kind of ramping up around the country, but I am optimistic that we have state law on our side now, thanks to folks like Representative Chaplick that says we can't do these mask mandates again. But yeah, your mayor was really interesting, and he's still in there because he did that mandate and really disregarded the people, his fellow colleagues at the time. Were you on the council then, or are you newer to council?
I was not on the council, but I've done a lot of research into it because since then there were two council members that brought in an ordinance to council and it was passed that he can't do this again. But they voted on it and he took it upon himself to veto it because I guess he felt that he knew better than the six other people on the council.
Yeah. So that's just kind of the arrogance on government levels all around that I've seen for so many years now. So your first time, is this first time you're in government, Lisa?
Yes, it is. And let me tell you, it's been an eye opener.
I was going to say, and we were talking before you got on, you're from Australia originally, and Australia, talking about places, and I don't know if you still have family or connections back there, but they went really crazy during COVID. I mean, tyrannical.
It was beyond tyrannical. I mean, and actually, I'm going back in a couple months. My mum's there, and she was actually locked down for 271 days in her home. She's 92 right now. So it was beyond anything I've seen before in my life. They had like armored vehicles going down the street chasing people.
It's insane. I hope they get it back together there. But once these things slip, it's really hard to get back those freedoms. And we see the same thing happening here. Okay. On the subject of what's going on, especially in Cottonwood, another big issue, this confusion that's hit our country with especially our youth. And now you've seen these drag shows that have popped up around the country, story time drag shows at libraries, things like that. You guys had a big controversial issue in Cottonwood that I think is still really going on. And that was a all ages drag show that hit just a couple months ago. And it was really marketed towards and encouraged that younger kids show up at this drag show, which is adult stuff. And it was on a city facility or town facility, as far as I remember. What happened there? Yes. And what's going, update us on what's going on with that one.
I heard about it in January. And at that point I knew it was at the city building that the city rents out. The council doesn't really have any say in who they rent it to. It's pretty much administrative. So when it came to our knowledge, I had spoken to the mayor and I said, obviously, I opposed it. I don't believe children should be at any kind of show like this. And I implored him to put a statement out that stated the city's stance on it, that we don't rent the building. Nothing happened. Okay. So then people came en masse to our meetings to protest because, as I reminded the mayor, we are a representative government, and when 300 people in our community show up, regardless if I agree with what they're saying, my job is to represent them. So I brought it, I tried to get it on the agenda with Council Linda Willis. We tried twice, and we didn't even ever get a reason why it wasn't. You would just get the agenda and it was never on it. So basically no one spoke to me about it in 2.5 months. Mm. And then when I finally get it on the work session, which our former interim city manager said that would be the best way to do it, clearly stated in his email, at the rec center, it would be a great forum to have the public speak with the council, civilize, answer questions. And then it's okay, get it on the work session. And Mayor Linsky decides that no, there will be no talking. Like he was just going to go about what he thought the work session would be, and there was no community participation whatsoever, which, you know, we got it on the agenda. I felt like it was pretty much a no-go right away because the city attorney, who was supposed to be working on it, and we even had to fight for that. Mayor Linsky told me in a meeting that she can't work on anything until you get the majority of council.
Okay.
Well, of course, I researched everything. And like the mask, when they brought in an ordinance after that, that's historically not how the procedure went. And I brought it to his attention, but again, everything was ignored. Mm. So right now I've got the ordinance that I've been working on pretty much. I'm just doing it myself with some outside legal help. We have to wait till the recall hopefully goes through and we can change the makeup of the council.
So you're,
that's the only chance we have.
So are you're working on an ordinance on these the drag shows that are being targeted and marketed Correct. Towards the under 18, let's say. What would that look like in a nutshell if you were able to get the support?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not going to be against anyone's First Amendment rights. The drag shows which happen at main stage right now would still be able to continue. The only thing would be is minors could not participate. And we have other city codes that talk about paraphernalia that can't be out. A lot of things in the city codes speak to this in a roundabout way. So I would not be going against anyone's First Amendment rights. And like I tried to illustrate, if they're allowed to do it in a different state, we have the same laws here. Everyone keeps shouting about First Amendment rights. Every state has the same First Amendment. They don't differ. So it would clearly state that you could not have minors at the drag show within the city limits.
Okay, and I would think that most rational people in our world, maybe we're rounding errors at this point, but I would think most people would be like, that sounds reasonable. If you're under 18, you shouldn't be going to these adult-focused, centered drag shows. That just seems like common sense to me. You're not, and I talked to the folks from Concerned Citizens for Verde Valley as well over this issue, and there was no attempt to stop it at the private places of businesses for business for
Absolutely
those over 18.
Not.
Yeah. So, are you getting a lot of blowback? I imagine you are because,
100%, lot of blowback from a lot of, it's the 1% of people who are giving blowback, mm-hmm. but they're at the forefront right now. They're being heard. They're the ones screaming the loudest. So yes, they're being heard, but they refer to the First Amendment and parental rights. I mean, I don't believe that they've looked into how parental rights have been debaucherized. I mean, in Maryland right now, there's a law that says a parent in a public school cannot withdraw their child from a class that is going to be talking about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Like religious class, you used to be opt out. You're not allowed to do that. So where are parental rights? There are none.
Yeah, well, there's,
They're being diminished.
Yeah, there's a growing segment of the population and that think that your kids belong to them. I mean, they really think that, and that's why one thing that, and to just kind of loop back to the COVID hysterics, the one positive that really came out of that is a lot of parents were awakened to the craziness that's going on. I mean, I was. I mean, we were in a public school.
I was too. Well,
yeah, did you go through, I assume you have kids, Lisa?
Yeah, well, my daughter was actually at the University of Arizona, so she shared my office. And I was sitting at my desk listening to one of her classes, and I'm literally banging on the keyboard texting her, saying, how are you listening to this? Like, it's just totally, it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that, as horrible as it was, I think parents have realized that, we have to go back to the triangle where it is the school, the parent and the child. It's not the school and the child.
Yeah.
It's a three-person triangle.
I hope more and more people, wake up to that. I think a lot did, and we have seen some good changes. I mean, I took my kids to private school. I think a lot of people have done that as well. Unfortunately, here in Arizona, we have the Empowerment Scholarship Accounts and Tax Credits. We're talking with Councilwoman Lisa DuVernay out of Cottonwood, and let me follow up with you on the mayor and this situation. I know there's a group, they're pushing for a recall. They're out getting signatures. Have they turned them in, or do you know anything about that?
No, they're not. They're not due till I think sometime in October.
Okay.
So I know that they're canvassing diligently.
Would this be a November deal if it did on that election?
No,
or would it be a future one?
It would be. So they'd hand them in at the end of October. And from what I understand, the county has 60 days to verify the signatures. And then I believe there's a date in March or April that you can, there are very set dates for the election. So I don't want to misquote them, but we will not be waiting until November 24th.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it came up and it was in August, you still have to have it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how close it is to the election. So, but just to be clear with the ordinance of the drag show, it's nothing about drag. And I want the people to understand it's nothing about your lifestyle or drag. It's just about minor children.
Okay. At any adult venue, I would imagine. I mean, I don't
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any strip clubs in Cottonwood. If there were, though, those have typically been if there's alcohol over 21. There might be some exceptions. I don't know the law, and there's 18 and over. But my point being, at 16 or 17 or 15 or 12 or 9, you couldn't go to a strip show.
Correct. You cannot. You can't get a tattoo. You can't do a lot of things. I mean, yeah. My daughter couldn't even take an Advil at school if I didn't write a slip to say she'd love to take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Folks, if you got a comment, love to hear from you. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Lisa, can you stick around for just a second? I got to take a quick break, but I want to hit on a couple of growth issues that you're dealing with in the Verde Valley. So hang tight for that. And again, Olivia's going to be back or by here in hour two of the show. So we want to get your comments in. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Hang tight. Back in just a minute. All right, thanks to Diamond Auto Glass. They've been taking care of our windshields here in the Orvitz household for years. We take a lot of trips, and, you know, especially if you're driving around in northern Arizona, those windshields get chips in them. Get that chip fixed quick. Go to Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street. They'll take care of you. If you haven't gotten glass replacement with them in the past, it's a really good price, and it's usually done in about 10 to 15 minutes. Just give them a call and set up an appointment. If you've had glass coverage with Diamond Auto Glass, it's included, free. You just go on in and get it done. No appointment needed. Here's Diamond Auto Glass's number. Give them a call, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Also like to thank Timberline Firearms and Training. It is, well, tomorrow. Let's stick with, I don't know what they got going on today, but I know tomorrow's Ladies' Day. All day, ladies out there, you get to shoot at the range for free. You just got to, and that includes a gun rental, by the way, a free gun rental. You don't get to shoot for free. It's $11. Let me get my notes right here. $11 gets you range time and a free gun rental. One gun rental, you got to buy the range ammunition, and it's a great deal. Go check that out. Plus all the great training courses that they got at Timberline Firearms and Training, 928-526-7900. Book those right now. Hang tight. Back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Councilwoman Lisa DuVernay is with us, and I want to ask you about this, Lisa. Actually, on tomorrow's show, I'm going to have on Zach Hauser, who's a farmer out of Camp Verde, and farming is so important. Farming is a big issue and a huge thing in Camp Verde and Cottonwood throughout the Verde Valley, and we're going to talk about water, and growth is a big issue when it comes to water. What are you dealing with there? There's a lot of concerns about water in the state of Arizona going forward.
There are concerns about water, but there are many facets to that. And one thing that has been drawn to my attention lately because of a zoning change that I actually voted against, which we did vote, I think 5-2 on that. And it's about stormwater, because another effect people don't understand is when you have growth and the more concrete you put down, the water, obviously the velocity is magnified greatly. So it's flooding housing and streets on the other side of the, outside of city limits, which is county, regardless if we're creating that. To me, that's an issue.
Okay.
So with growth, I think it should be controlled because, you know, you can't think what's going to, you know, we're going to get a hotel, we're going to get another hotel, we need housing, let's just build an apartment building. I think you have to look at 10, 15, even 20 years down the track, what it's going to look like to our community. Will we still be able to sustain what we've got now? I mean, I don't think there's enough thought being put into any of this. And water obviously is, the natural groundwater is a concern also. But yeah,
and then housing's a big issue because, I mean, there's, I think you've experienced it too, Lisa, that housing costs have gone up a lot. So especially if you think about younger folks who are trying to get in, it's gotten pretty unattainable all over the place.
When you talk about affordable housing, people instantly think, okay, that means like people who can't afford anything. But affordable housing, in my mind, in 2023, is two working parents with kids. You can't afford to buy a house in Cottonwood. You just can't. You know, unless, I don't know who can at that point in their lives when you're young, which means definitely you've got all the people who can afford more buying up the houses or corporations buying them to rent, not necessarily for short term, but just buying them up so they have the land. So I do think housing is needed, but we have to be really specific. If there's workforce housing that's needed, let's make it workforce housing. Let's not just keep building subdivisions that will not address that at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have to look at the big, big picture, and there has to be much more planning than I see happening.
Yeah. Okay. Councilwoman, hey, I really appreciate the time. I'm just about out of time for this hour. I'd like to get you on maybe, especially if you maybe coming up to Flagstaff sometime, or maybe I go down to Camp Verde all the time. We could do a longer, podcast and even, longer time on the show. There's a lot of issues and keep us up to date as to what's going on, with this recall and all that. So I do appreciate it and we'll talk with you real soon.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate having me on the show.
Absolutely. And once again, get those comments, and we want to hear from you. Olivia will be by here after the break for hour two of the show. TalkJeff@iCloud.com. And if you're listening to the podcast, hit that subscribe button. If you're watching on Rumble, hit the follow button. Hang tight. Back in just a few. Hi, this is Jeff Orvitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity. This portion of the show is brought to you by Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans.
This is the Jeff Orvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Yeah, have you noticed the gas prices? It went up like 20 cents overnight when we got up to Flagstaff from Camp Verde. And I should have filled up. It's like $3.88 a gallon, and now it's like $4.10 or something like that. So no, that's not a typo out there. You're seeing that too. So just another thing to be thankful for with the, what is it called? Bidenomics. I don't know if he wants to claim that thing. I don't think that's a good one to say. Hey, I'm so proud of the Bidenomics. Yeah, guess what I did. He's out there touting this thing. Yeah, but it's, I don't see much relief in sight when it comes to the gas prices. I'm looking at a report here from an energy company in Saudi Arabia. As you know, is they've cut production. Huge supply, obviously, of the world's oil. And they have cut, or they're going to keep production cuts in place till at least the end of this year to squeeze Biden. And look, I don't blame a country like Saudi Arabia that says, hey, you know what? I'm going to cut my production because then I'm going to make more per barrel. I'm going to make a higher profit on my product. I mean, that's just good business. Yeah, that's just, it's not good for us, but it's our own stupid leader's fault for putting the cap, shall we say, on oil production and energy production in the U.S. in this quest for the fantasy of electrification and the hunt for unicorns, I guess.
It's like, do they not understand that we share a planet? And that their climate change affects the entire world. And so if we're using the same amount and it's got to come from somewhere.
It's got to come from somewhere.
It's like, what did might they not well, get about that?
Yeah, might as well get it. It's a great point. We might as well get it from our country. It's like these environmentalists that push for us to reduce consumption, us to reduce output in the factories or coal plants, you name it. And then it's what did they think China was going to do? Follow? Did they think that we have total control of the whole world, that we wave a magic wand and that we say, hey, China, you will cut too.
And India, you will cut too. It's like, that's not going to be pretty.
No.
We don't have enough for everybody.
This whole thing is just ugly. And it's just, it's really all of our fault. I know it's not your fault probably because you didn't vote for this stuff. It's really not my fault, but I guess collectively it's all of our fault because we've allowed these people to control for so long. And to make such bad decisions, and it just keeps going on and on. I told you last hour about the U.S. is heading for its first, heading for a $2 trillion budget deficit. I mean, what power do we have when we're broke to try to make things right around the world, to try to make things right in our country? So it's ridiculous. And then, of course, we've got the mask craziness that's starting to go on again. I'm starting to see that. Yeah, that's hitting, Olivia.
I don't even know what to say.
I know.
Say.
There's a school in, I think it was Maryland. I don't have the article open anymore. That is asking as a mandate for the next 10 days for all the kids to mask up.
It
worked so great last time. All right, let's get to some comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love hearing from you. And then I think Kelly Broaddus is going to be dropping in here in a few minutes, and we'll talk some real estate market updates. Councilwoman Lisa DuVernay of Camp Verde last hour was talking about. Briefly, we ran out of time at the end, how in Cottonwood, for example, heck of a problem for people to afford homes there as well. This thing is everywhere. It's housing affordability issues. So I want to kind of get an outlook from Kelly Broaddus, so stick around for that. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. What do you got?
I have a comment from Bill. I have to ask, why are you supporting Fox News with their outright propaganda? It is on every hour, spreading misinformation and lies every day. Hope you can find some more reputable news outlet to fill that time with.
Reputable.
What did I say?
Reputable. What is reputable? That sounds like a word. That sounds like a big word.
It's the same thing.
That's British. The councilwoman from Cottonwood. She's from Australia. So that's maybe how they say it in Australia. I'm messing with you.
How do you say it?
Reputable.
Reputable.
Reputable. You started reputable. A new trend. That's a whole new trend. Okay, Bill.
That's how you say it.
Okay, back to Bill. Bill is upset that we play Fox News at the top of every hour. I don't play anything. I mean, one thing I think folks need to understand, because I actually ran into I was talking with somebody, I think it was last night. It doesn't really matter, but they were like, oh, you know, the radio station you own. I own this show. We do this show. We produce this show. It's outside the radio station. We produce it on our own and all that. Everything that happens after we go to commercial break. So you hear me and our great sponsors. I talk about our sponsors kind of during the show and at the end as we're leaving the segment, right? That's all within the show. Once we leave and say, hey, we're going to break, we're going to be back.
Just blame the station. That's the station. That.
Yeah, that's the station. Now, I can definitely, because I have gotten a couple messages from people over especially the past year regarding Fox, and the station is a Fox affiliate. And so they run Fox News. I will certainly, Bill, forward it over. I don't watch or listen to any of these news sources at this point. I haven't for a long time. Even when Fox, because you got to remember Fox until Tucker got ousted here several months back, there were still many of you out there that were like, oh, Fox News, Fox News. And I was always like, don't, you know, Fox News, CNN, MSN. To me, they're all the same. And I think Fox proved that they were as well. So, no, I'm not a huge fan myself. But I will definitely forward it over. But like I said, I don't have control over it. People even think I have control over the commercials. Like, I heard this, I heard that. I just, that's just like any other host out there. Once that break button hits, it's the local stations that hit that. So yeah, I'll pass it along though.
Yeah, we'll do our best.
We'll do our best. I'll have Olivia do it. Talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com.
From Richard in Indian Wells, you are a great communicator. You reach many people. Don't be discouraged by those on the opposite. Tell them they pick you out because you are effective. You're 100% Navajo supporter, Richard Indian Wells.
Hey, thanks, Richard. I think I was having some frustrations last Wednesday when we did our last show before we took the long break before Labor Day. And I think some of those frustrations, I should have probably taken off last Wednesday because some of those frustrations were seeping through. And maybe Richard sensed that.
Oh, when you were doing the show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. I was like, I was ready for a vacation. You know, yeah. I was ready to get out of here.
Well,
so
we all were.
Yeah, so maybe that was seeping. No, I generally don't get too worked up. I mean, I get some crazy comments, and I don't get too worked up about that. But I appreciate the nice comments like that. They actually carry us through. And I met some great folks last night, too, that listened to the show and are real happy with the show. So whenever we hear that, it puts a smile on our face.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. One more. This is from Rumble regarding forest etiquette. We have nicknamed the area as Hep C Trees.
Hep C Trees. I have a video up on Rumble. You can get to it from talkwithjeff.com, or you can look up, just type in Orvitz on Rumble. Rumble is like the YouTube alternative, and it's less censorship. It's more open to the things like we talk about. Like, I don't get last hour I talked about the mask madness that's going on. I don't get a big warning.
I was about to say flagged with, COVID-19 information or whatever.
Now, we have our YouTube account. You can look up Orvitz on YouTube as well. But we just get flagged a lot on YouTube for our content, which is fine. Whatever. It's their thing. They control Google. Google owns YouTube, controls so much, of the content you see out there. So I decided to go with Rumble, and it's been good. But anyway, I put a video out this morning. If you look it up, talking about with Mark Howitt, forest etiquette. And we were out in the forest over the weekend, and we almost got run down by UTVs.
Oh, that's right.
It's crazy.
We're on the dirt road, and so it's like, how fast can you go on a dirt road even? It's like, I don't know how they were doing that. And we're just off to the side cutting the wood.
Yeah.
And they just, like, one after another, like, the entire time, just flying by. Don't bother stopping. We have the dog out. And so
they didn't
we had
slow
to put
down.
Her, not at all. They might have sped up.
Yeah, I think it's all us. They're like Target.
I know.
Yeah.
And then there was like this truck that was like swerving like crazy. I actually thought it was going to hit the truck.
Yeah, it was fishtailing. And it was fishtailing all over the place.
It was insane. Yeah. It was going so fast.
And then they all have headsets on, like they're in some video game. And it's just like crazy. Uh-huh. And I explained this yesterday, and it's in this video. Again, look up Orvitz on Rumble or YouTube, or go to talkwithjeff.com. It was like Apocalypse Now. They got like the speakers going, dun da da dun da da da. I was waiting for napalm to start hitting us and stuff. It was totally out of control.
But you can also see how, you know, some people are going to ruin this for everyone, because there were also definitely the people that did slow down and were respectful.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They were just out there. And so it's like,
most of the people that were out there driving UTVs, and that's all anyone drives. I saw one person on a four-wheeler. I like the four-wheeler. I like the smaller vehicles, and this, you know, just
exactly.
More
you
open.
Might as well take your bigger vehicle.
Yeah, well, I guess UTVs, they have the roll cage and this and that, but if you're going 50, 60 miles an hour and you roll that thing over, you're not going to be in good shape. Yeah, the four-wheeler, I tend to go, you know, I usually keep it under 30 because, you know, you roll that over and you're just done at that point. But no, in all fairness, most of the people that I don't want to give this impression that everything is always bad out there. I think most people are good. Most people do the right thing, but it just takes such a small percentage to screw it up for all of us. And that's, we have this attitude of me, right? And let me take 100 selfies and let me, you know, this world is all about me. I'm in a constant reality show. Let me put my headset on. I'm going to blare this music in the national forest so everybody can hear my music. And I'm so important. And it's just like, where's some respect for the other people out there?
I know. I mean, they were going to seriously hurt someone too. And they aren't even slowing down. when you're like waving at them to slow down one after another is coming, just flat out ignored us.
I think it encouraged them more, you know, to speed up once I did that. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You can send a comment that way. Or if you're listening to the podcast, comment right in the podcast or comment in the video if you're watching anything on Rumble or YouTube. I appreciate all of that. You've got an interesting story there out of Florida. The creativity of humans never ceases to amaze me here.
I was looking at this picture and I was just like, oh.
It looks like a paddle. What they refer to as a hamster wheel or something?
Yeah. Florida man arrested by Coast Guard for trying to cross Atlantic in human-sized hamster wheel. I didn't even know what to do when I read that headline. And then I'm looking at the picture. And
yeah, I'm pulling it up too.
I'm like, What even is that? They tried to describe it. So coincidentally, this is Fox, but,
hey, who is that, Bill?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, this is from FoxNews.com.
But I mean, I don't see how wrong they could be getting this. I'm sure they have their comments scattered throughout, but I see the picture and,
it's like a big cage. It's like a big, like, barrel that you could stand in.
Yeah, they describe it as a giant metal drum.
Okay.
That's the shape it is. I was picturing, when I read that, I was picturing like one of those just clear balls and he's just like running. That's what I was thinking.
Oh yeah, we used to have that for the hamster and you,
guinea pig. With inflatable buoys on each side and paddles that are powered by a runner inside.
Okay, so yeah, it's a giant hamster wheel. So yeah, it's like this metal cage and then you put a bunch of buoys around each side, the right and left side, and then there's like paddles that he did. It looks pretty creative. So what he paddled out from Florida, how far did he make it? 30 miles, 40 miles or something?
Yeah, not that far.
Yeah, 70 miles. 70 miles. So dude made it 70 miles. How far is
which
it from?
I guess is impressive.
Florida, where's he trying to go? Britain?
He's trying to go to London.
Is that 4,000 miles from Florida? I mean, I'm not sure. It's got to be 3,000 or 4,000+ miles.
This isn't the first time. He also tried this, it looks like, 3 or 4 other times, and every time he got picked up by Coast Guards. But I don't know if this is weirder or not, but another part of the story is that, so they catch him, and they say he's unable to provide the officials with the required registration for his water vehicle. And just told them that he was going to London. And so when they told him that they were cutting his voyage short, this guy, Bellucci, threatened to kill himself with a 12-inch knife if anyone tried to apprehend him and claimed to have a bomb aboard.
Huh. Well, that's weird.
So it takes forever, and then finally he admits that he doesn't have the bomb, and they take him in, just charges him.
Why do we care? I never understand something like this where I guess the only harm that could come to somebody else is if, like, his caged, hamster wheel thing got caught in somebody's rudder and caused the ship to go off course and, like, hit an iceberg or something. I don't see what damage he's causing to any other person on planet Earth by doing this. And I guess if he gets a distress, I don't know if he had a radio in there or something. Doesn't look like he had much of anything. He's probably going to go out there and kill himself.
He's trying to raise money, so I don't know how that's happening.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then the quote says, "I'll never give up on my dream. They stopped me 4 or 5 times, but I'll never give up." So I'm sure we can count on him just going back out there again. Yeah, so maybe they'd better just let him go to London.
What's the problem here? Is it, what's the worst that's going to happen? He's gonna kill himself, which is probably a high probability that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah,
but if that's what he wants to do, I don't know. Do we need to be that nitpicky with people? Just what happened to the human spirit of, hey, I'm going to try this? I mean, it sounds like the guy's a little kooky.
I was like, what was he doing wrong? And it's just like, oh, he doesn't have the permit.
He doesn't have the permit for the, what do? You go fill out and it's like, what's your vehicle? It's a water hamster wheel. I mean, it's SS hamster wheel.
Honestly,
here.
It doesn't look like, I mean,
it doesn't look
it
very,
looks kind of,
it looks sketchy. Yeah,
it looks sketchy. I was going to say, it looks like it would stay up.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I think that people, if they want to do things like this, just have them sign off. You know, just say, hey, we're not going to come rescue you. It's just like, hey, I'm going to climb this mountain or something, or I'm going to glide across the world nonstop in this big glider or hot air balloon. People have done that. How many people have hiked Everest? And it's just got a sign of things saying, nobody's coming to rescue you. You can do what you want. you know, you're probably going to die doing it, and just like let people do this stuff. I don't see a big deal. I think how much money and time is wasted, and then you're arresting this guy, you're taking him to court over this.
And then he's already going to do it again.
Yeah, he's got another version, I guess. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Let's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We're going to talk with Kelly Broaddus coming up here in a minute as well. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Inflatable Hamster Wheels. No. let's see. Who do we got? WT Wealth Management, Glenn Least and his team do an awesome job. When I need to talk to somebody about what's going on in the markets, I call Glenn Least, and he's a wealth of knowledge. Look, I don't tell you how to invest, of course. I want you to learn as much as possible. I want you to understand what you're getting into. And I think nowadays, with as crazy as the economy is, and I was telling you last hour about the federal deficit, you got to really be up on this stuff. Glenn's got a lot of information that he can share with you. See if he's a good fit. Talk with him. I think you're going to find that he has a lot of the same values that you have as well. It's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. He'll give you a free complimentary, no obligation consultation at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. All right, I think we got a few more comments, and then we're going to talk with Kelly Broaddus about what's going on in the real estate world. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Also, if you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe. If you're watching video on Rumble, follow. If you're watching video on YouTube, ignore the blue warnings about our supposed misinformation.
I know. And listen subscribe. To it yourself and make your own judgment.
Yeah, make your own judgment. And we got to get back to that. That's why I brought the story of this guy in the hamster wheel. I figured, you know, where's personal responsibility at this point? Just okay. Just
I don't understand.
Go do
it,
stuff like that. You're not gonna
go enjoy yeah, your journey.
You're not gonna cause any damage to anybody else. We need to get back to where the government's not in our business every second of the day. That is a weird story though, but go ahead, Olivia. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love hearing from you. You're drawing a blank. Your computer screen went blank. Okay, we'll pass on.
No, I don't have a comment right now. But.
Okay. All right. The whole system blew up on her. So, that's just the way it goes sometimes. There's no talk in your school about masks or anything like that though, Olivia.
Well, besides the kids laughing. The kids are laughing. I mean.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to get to that. It can't get to that. I want to remind you, if you want a good explanation as to your rights in Arizona when it comes to masks. Last hour, I told you all about, and let me pull this up one more time, because I think it's important to stress this, HB, and sometimes people don't listen to the second hour, they listen, you know, to parts of the show. We're fortunate in Arizona that we had someone like Representative Chaplick who helped pass HB 2616, which prohibits the government from imposing mask mandates. So in schools, in county buildings, city buildings, things like that. They can't do it.
And I would say, wow, a little late, but I mean, no, apparently not because it's coming back.
Well, they passed it in 2022. And when I talked to Representative Chaplick about it, it was like, hey, and I played a clip of him last hour. It was like, okay, well, I don't think this is going to happen again. The American public won't put up with this, you know, all of that talk. And I was like, yeah, I think you're right. And I don't know if I'm right about that though. The amount that the American public puts up with is just really mind boggling at this point.
I know it was such a small percentage that were the ones shouting out against it last time.
Yeah. You're going to kill ground. And Olivia led a charge against the masks in her former school, charter school. And the thing that really stunk about that situation is you were going back to school, and a couple days before they reinstituted a mask mandate like a day before or something, or the night of.
Exactly.
And you had no choice.
I went there under the false assumption that they were saying, oh, we aren't going to do it this year.
Yeah.
And but then they're liars.
Yeah. Yeah. You go in there. It's like overnight, they literally put this mask mandate back in place.
Like 3 days in.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's fine. So, oh, you went a couple of days, they teased you, and then they put it back in.
I know. Like,
that's
oh, right. This that's is right. great.
Yeah. But just remember, HB 2616, that is the bill and the legislation that's in place in Arizona to prevent these governments in the state. They have to be in the state from imposing a mask mandate. It doesn't prevent the feds, because the feds can do whatever they want. So if TSA decides to do a mask mandate, if you know, national parks decide to do it again. Remember the time we were down in Tucson and we were in that outdoor bus and we had to wear a mask outside?
Oh, yeah. I did not do that.
So ridiculous. All right. Let's talk with Kelly Broaddus. We'll hit on some real estate issues coming up. And like I still got time to get those comments in. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Let's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com and comment in the podcast as well. We appreciate everyone who's doing that. All right, Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona has got a great special going on right now. My listeners normally get 30% off. Olivia, you get 35% off right now. If you mentioned the Jeff Orvit Show when you call Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 35% off on this great system. So you don't have to go up on your roof anymore and clean those gutters out. It's a multi-patented reverse curve that deflects all the pine needles. And it's got...
Which are starting to fall.
Yeah, they're ugh, yeah, all this
more
stuff.
More raking.
It's coming up, yeah.
At least we don't have to worry about the gutters now.
Yeah, exactly. 40 years of experience. The best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty on performance and materials. Give Carl, the Gutter Hermit Man, a call right now or text. Call or text 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555 or go to gutterhelmetnaz.com. That's gutterhelmetnaz.com. Also, I'd like to thank Zero Res Northern Arizona. That's Zero Res Northern Arizona. You want to get your carpets cleaned. You want to get your tiles cleaned. They'll take care of that as well. The fabric on your couches, your vehicles as well. Zero Res Northern Arizona. They have this great system, ZR Water. So it's not all crusty when they're done. It's not like, you know, you go and rent that really cheap, carpet cleaner from the supermarket. You know, people used to do that. And then it's all crusty on there. Now, you need a professional to do this, and that's Zero Res Northern Arizona. Go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com right now. And if you got a question for them, they're more than happy to talk to you. 928-378-8888. That's ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. 928-378-8888. Hang tight. Back in just a minute. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orvit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Orvit Show. This is the Jeff Orvit Show.
All right, welcome back. Kelly Broaddus joins us. Olivia just bailed on us. She's like, I don't talk real estate. She should.
Yes, she should.
She should. I'm trying to have that stuff rub off on her. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. How's the market doing?
It's interesting. It's very interesting. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I've spent a lot of time today talking about the national debt interest rates. I think I spouted off about that for a while earlier on the program about how on the federal side, as interest rates go up, and we had the biggest interest rate increase like ever
in history,
in like a year plus, mm-hmm. right? And people were paying 2-3%. This is impacting everything: credit cards, car loans. Housing, obviously,
commercial.
I mean, it's just the world. It's sadly the world runs on credit. We've created this system, a debt. Yeah, it runs on debt. And someday we're going to have pay the piper moment. I don't know when it is,
or what
it even looks like, but it's. I don't think it's going to end pretty. At some point. And I hope people are preparing as best they can. And I do like. Tangible assets, obviously. And I think that, let me preface this with, I don't give you financial advice, you know, at all. Anybody out there, you got to make your own decisions. But I like to have something that's physical, like property, like real estate. And if you got to live in a house, you got to live somewhere, but it's getting really hard. I talked about this last hour with Councilwoman DuVernay out of Cottonwood. And Conway used to be a place where people really went to for affordable housing. She said it's gotten way out of hand. Even in Cottonwood's a beautiful place, but it used to be a place where people, alternative place. Yeah. Camp Verde, same story.
Right.
Sedona, I think last time you were on a couple weeks ago, Mark Howitt was here with us. He said he thought it was like $9.99, the median price. And you were saying it was like seven or upper sixes here in Flagstaff. I can't remember the exact number.
Yeah.
So what's going on with the interest rates? Because you saw a spike.
Yes, I met with one of my preferred lenders yesterday. We were talking about it, and rates are up over 8% now. And that's very painful. And it's creating a lot of pain for buyers, obviously, but for sellers too, because they're putting their home on the market and they're thinking in terms of COVID times when things were selling.
Yeah.
And they're not selling in many cases for, you know, the average person, the average person that's trying to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that people can do, and sellers have to be educated on this before, you know, when they put their house on the market, because this is something that only a seller can do for a buyer. A buyer cannot do it for themselves.
Okay. What?
So what they have interest rate buy downs, temporary interest rate buy downs. There's a whole litany of products that lenders have. But the thing is, only a seller can do it, because a buyer can only request so much. They can only request so much. So I have one right now where the buyer could not qualify. You know, the home was listed for $881 or something like that. And
which is not too far above the median price. I mean, it's crazy.
I know. And they literally, they're selling another house and putting a lot of money down. The house appraised for a little over what we're selling it for. And the only way we could make the deal work was to have the seller raise the price, because they're putting so much money down. We raised it up over $9,000.
Huh.
And then the seller paid, I think, $36,000 in rate buy down for the buyer. So they got their rate down to 5.5%.
So they increased the price, and then they basically used that to pay down the rate. And they got it for what was the percentage?
5.5.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But they had to put in quite, I mean, they're going to have to be there for a while.
They will be.
This
is their forever home. I mean, you got to look at all the whole picture, right? But for them, this worked. You know, they didn't have many options.
And there's no, because it appraised a little bit more than they were asking, there wasn't the appraiser.
There wasn't the room.
Yeah.
They just had to use the equity that they are putting in with their down payment. So,
are you seeing, I don't remember, but I've read stories and heard stories about the last time we had interest rates really high. We're talking late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, I remember.
And there was a lot of creative financing that happened. There was like owner carrybacks, like a second.
Yeah.
You know, so they would do that, because a lot of people do have a lot of equity. They may have bought that house for $300,000 years and years ago.
Now it's worth $1 million.
Yeah, and they're sitting on quite a bit of equity in $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. Are we seeing those second carrybacks, or are the primary lenders looking at that in a negative way?
I haven't seen much of that yet here in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
I think it's probably happening in other places, but haven't seen a whole lot of that here.
It's too bad. And another thing that used to happen back in the 70s and 80s is there was a lot of assumable loans.
Yeah, we don't have those.
Yeah,
gone. FHA and VA loans can be assumable.
But the vast majority of the conventional loans that everybody's getting.
No.
No.
But the problem with the FHA and VA is they usually have so much equity on top of that loan that who can assume it? They'd have to put too much money down. Assume that loan.
That's true. So that's not a viable solution. Interest rate buy down is a solution, but it depends how long you're going to be there and what the position of the seller is at.
Now there's that temporary rate buy down is an option, and you know, you'd have to give me a call. I can get you in touch with the right person to explain how that works.
Yeah.
But it's a definite option is working for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what the solution is, because I think interest rates they could even creep up. Here's what I get concerned about is the Fed's been raising the rates, obviously, and then that impacts everything on the lending side that we already talked about. But if the if we start getting more inflation, and I could see the government coming in with, if the economy takes a dip, they come in with all kinds of government plans to send out checks again. I mean, right. And stimulate the economy, but then that could cause more inflation. Then all of a sudden they come in and say, well, now we got to raise interest rates even more. It's kind of like an endless spiral. Cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you toss in the mix. We have an election year coming up, right?
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of predicting that the rates are probably going to go up again one or two times before the end of the year. And then next year, election year, rates will come down again temporarily because they always do. And then we'll have, you know, what's going to happen? The prices will go up again.
Yeah, you mentioned that last time.
You'll have a slew of buyers again. So my suggestion to buyers is if we can educate sellers on how to help buyers buy their house, be open to that. Be open to those creative ways of doing it, because it's just not going to get it. It's a vicious cycle that never ends.
Yeah. If you fix this issue and they start driving the rates down, which politically speaking, that's traditionally been what happens during an election. They buy the election with trying to juice up the economy. Right. So let's say that model holds. Then all of a sudden people are buying homes again because the rates coming down.
And prices are going up.
Prices go up and the inventory dries up even more.
Right.
I couldn't even imagine that building homes right now in the new stock of homes, because we're talking existing homes that are already up.
These
are resales. But I just know from being in real estate myself and having to manage commercial and residential properties, and I'm sure you see this all the time too, and especially with your clients, Kelly, and you got to repair this or that. It's shocking.
What it costs.
How much it's gone up. I don't know how anybody's building anything.
No.
It
doesn't make sense. It makes more sense to buy something and remodel it than it does to build it from the ground up.
Yeah. So let's look at this. I have my little handy loan calculator here, which ironically enough, and I've had this app on my phone for years, the rate stops at 10%. So it's got a sliding little thing on it, sliding rule. And, you know, this app probably came out. I'm sure there's an update I could get, but probably came out when interest rates were 2%, 3%. Yeah. So they're like, we don't need to go higher than 10%. But you were saying you're seeing things at
eight and a quarter.
Okay, so I'm plugging an 8.25% on a 30-year loan. And let's just assume that people are $800,000 homes.
Well, let's see.
You give me an example. I'm just curious on that.
What is the loan amount that the conventional loan amount?
Oh, there's a max.
There's a max. So let's say it's 600,000.
Okay, I'll type in 600 here. Slide this over to there. That payment is $4,500 a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So if you were to buy let's say you're buying a home in Flagstaff now and it's 800, which is very common at this point. And maybe you sold a place somewhere else and you're putting down 200 grand to get that to the 600 conventional limit or whatever that limit is. Yeah, it's 4,500. And if you're just saying you just saw about a 1% increase, at 7.25%, it was 4,100. So it just went up, your payment just went up $400 a month like that.
Just like that.
Just to kind of experiment this a little longer, what if they do go up to my maximum calculator here? 10%, your payment's like $5,300 a month. I mean, that's just, I don't know where this all goes, because I don't know how, but you're still seeing what I find amazing, Kelly. You're still seeing people, come in with multiple millions of dollars to buy things cash.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them. That's fine.
Like, but crazy.
I know. I guess selling out, and is it selling out in other places, or just are these really well off?
The one I listed, the brand new house in Pine Canyon, 3.9, and went in 2 hours for 3.95, right? They were from Phoenix.
Yeah, interesting.
Cash, quick close. Yeah.
I don't know what to tell people. I mean,
is that house really worth $4 million? Really? I mean, did it really cost them that much to build that house?
No. Yeah. Is anything worth $4 million? I don't know. Okay. I'd love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those comments in. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And if you're listening to the podcast, hit that subscribe button. If you're watching on Rumble, hit the follow button. Appreciate everyone who's doing that. All right, if you have a home and you got to get your HVAC system fixed, call my good friends at Gettles High Desert Mechanical. wherever you're at in northern Arizona, northern and central Arizona, they'll be able to help you out. They've fixed my old unit. It's behind Kelly, actually, in that closet. It's one of those old ones from the 80s. It's like the size of a small vehicle at this point. They kept that going. My point being in bringing this up is they're able to keep these things going. And if they can fix it and keep it going safely, they're going to do that for you at Gettles High Desert Mechanical. However, if you need a new unit, call them up. They'll get you a nice, new, efficient unit. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, no matter where you're at in northern and central Arizona, 928-567-2200. That's Gettles High Desert Mechanical at 928-567-2200. Don't forget to stop by my friends at Sportsman's Bar and Grill as well. Voted best sports bar in Flagstaff. I don't even know. I lost track. 17 years in a row, something like that. I love getting there. They have great pozole up there. I think they have that going on tonight. Fridays, they've got clam chowder. They've got great sandwiches, great burgers, and all kinds of great drink specials as well. Sportsman's Bar and Grill. It's up there just north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Bash's Shopping Center. Stop on by, get some great food, enjoy the great music, check out a great game. We'll be back in just a second. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, Kelly Broaddus is here with us, and she's going to stay extra, too, and then we'll have that on Friday's show, plus on the podcast, which you can get at talkwithjeff.com or looking up the Jeff Orbit Show on your favorite podcast provider. It's hard to get into a lot of fields, Kelly, and, you know, as I go around, I see there's a lot of people that really need the technical experience. There's a lot of people that are having trouble, quite frankly. I mean, I've never seen so many people kind of out and about under the overpasses with shopping carts. I mean, in places like Flagstaff and Sedona, and you never thought you'd see that, but a lot of people are having trouble, and you're trying to help get people into your business, and I guess give them, I think it's called a leg up, give them a leg up and tell us about that you're starting.
So I've always had a passion for women that just got bad breaks. And cause I was one of those women and people, you know, I was a single mom of seven kids and had to start from ground zero. And a lot of people came alongside and helped me. And so I have a real passion for those situations. And so we're going to start an organization. I'm not sure how to do it yet, but if any of you out there in the listening world can get in touch with me and tell me how to do this, it's going to be called A Leg Up, and we're going to take women that are vetted already. And you know, they can't have felonies. They can't have, you know, drug problems, any of those things. They just have to be people that really just need a fair shake and are eager and willing and are willing to follow our systems and, you know, and get involved with what we're doing. And we will sponsor them to get their license and to help them through the process. I'm super excited about
great.
It. And,
yeah.
You know, we will mentor them and help them become, you know, productive humans in our community. So I'm hoping to get the community involved, getting, you know, organizations and businesses involved in helping these women with clothing, with, you know, whatever it is that they need.
Yeah.
And
it's so tough once you get into a bad rut.
Very hard.
And then how do you get, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm through. The thing is, and I'm glad that you're going to have some way to vet folks, because they've got to be through that stuff, because nobody can, you can't get, you can't help someone that doesn't want the help. You know, if they're mm-hmm. still in the middle of it, you do your best. But if it's drugs and alcohol,
they have to reach a certain point. Yeah, they got to be a certain way down the road.
And it takes a lot. I mean, I don't have my real estate license anymore, but I did at one point. And I mean, there's a lot of work to get that, the courses.
Especially in Arizona.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a lot. And then to keep up on it. And so you're doing this stuff while... Well, you're not making any money. You're putting out money and stuff. So you're willing to help with all that.
Help and then the salary and
get them into your,
with
your organization mm-hmm. And hopefully sell and help people buy and sell homes. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Yep. Okay. How do people get in touch? Because one thing I've learned on this show is we've got a lot of smart people listening and they might be like, oh, I actually, you know, I'm retired and I actually did that in wherever, you know, before I escaped California. Mm-hmm. And I have some ideas. So northernarizonafinehomes.com is that?
Yep. And my phone number is 928-606-6749.
Okay. And, that's good. All right. Well, let's do this. We're going to continue on and go into a podcast extra here with Kelly Broaddus. And remember, you can talk with her anytime. She gave out the number there. You can go to northernarizonafinehomes.com and type in that valuation. I think that's what we're going to get into in the podcast coming up mm-hmm. here is some of the crazy spikes you're seeing in certain areas mm-hmm. and more information on real estate that I think is really important. So, yeah, go to northernarizonafinehomes.com. And if you got any comments for me, I always love hearing from you. Get those in. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. A show note for tomorrow. I'm looking forward to this. Got an interview with Zach Hauser, who is actually a farmer in Camp Verde. They have a really big operation down there, Hauser & Hauser Farms. You may have bought their corn. We're going to talk about farming, how it's become really tough farming in America. The age of farmers has gone way up. There's not a lot of people coming into this line of work. So tune in for that tomorrow. Everybody have a great night. See you soon. Hi, this is Jeff Orvitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity.